This is the Angry GM again, and if you're listening to this, you probably just got done listening to me proofread aloud my article about what it means to be a true game master and the concepts of investment and ownership and building a game and then bringing it to life. And now I will be taking questions and comments from the audience. However, there is one comment I want to make at the beginning, including a little bit of a request for feedback as I go forward. I'm experimenting with a few different approaches now to change both my writing style and my proofread aloud style. And one of the things I did in this previous proofread aloud that I just finished proofreading aloud, that you hopefully just finished listening to, is I slowed down my delivery as best I could. I'm still learning how to temper my speed, but I started rushing through it and then I would start missing things. And also it makes things much less clear. So the thing did go on a little bit longer, even though the word count was actually a little shorter than most of the articles I've written in the past couple of months. Just as I'm going through this, just know, I am very interested in general feedback, like how stuff feels to read, how it feels to listen to. Okay, feel free to throw that in the comments. Don't throw it in Discord. Don't throw it in, send it in private messages or email it to me. If you want to tell me your opinion on something, the best place to do it is on the comments on my website. To that end, because I know many of you listen to this, I would like to point out that also comments on Subscribestar and comments on Patreon, they're much less visible to everybody in the world, me included, than the ones on my own website. So if you have something to share or something to say, post it on my website, on the article or audio file or whatever it is I've posted. Okay, and now with 20 minutes remaining, according to Procellus, the producer, I'm going to go ahead and jump into the proofread aloud Q&A. Starting with, Noid had asked a question before I even started reading. What question do you want someone to ask about this article? And I think Noid was trying to be funny. Either that or Noid didn't quite know how this works. I'm not sure what it was, but I want people to ask questions that occur to them as they listen to the article. I don't expect people to be able to ask questions about an article before I've read the article. So the whole point of the proofread aloud Q&A thread is to be able to put your questions somewhere if they occur to you while you're listening. Okay. Nori, do even great GMs have moments where some sessions are amazing and where everything just clicks together and the game flows seamlessly, and moments where some sessions are at best lukewarm, where the session isn't great but isn't terrible either? Yes. But that's not a thing of great GMs. That's a thing of all people doing anything ever, okay? Your actual performance at any given moment will always vary, okay? Even the best athletes have bad games, okay? And even the best athletes, 50% of their games are just, or 65% of their games actually are just their average games for them. That's how standard deviations work. So yeah, it's going to be the same for you. And in general, as you get better at a skill, and I'm going to address this next time, it's not really that you'll notice that you have more amazing games and that things are really, really great more of the time. What you're going to notice is that the bad sessions are far fewer and the bad sessions are far less bad. As you start improving in a skill, the first thing you do is have fewer and fewer bad experiences with it. People rate themselves based on their best experiences. And that's kind of a problem because your best experiences don't improve as drastically as your bad experiences decrease. Your best experiences increase only incrementally, very slowly over time. So, but anyway, yes, you're still going to expect that you're a human being, that you're going to perform adequately for 65% of the time, that half the remaining time you're going to perform crappily, and half the time you're going to do great. And this, by the way, is like, I love how people, this applies directly to role-playing game action checks, and it's something that drives me bonkers is when people, they complain about, I have this skill, and so I should be reliably able to do this, and the die only reflects, weird, random external factors. It's like, no, because that's not how human skills work. It's like, you can be an amazing locksmith and still get confounded by something. Okay. You can still get confounded by a simple lock. You could just have a bad day where everything's just going against you. Hell, your mood affects your performance a lot more than you think it does. That's what the die roll represents. It represents the fact that a lot of the time, your outcome has a lot more to do with everything else than it does do with your skills. But people don't like to hear that either. Reggie, to what extent, if any, do you see the conflict between gameplay and narrative? Are we going to get an article of finding a balance between the two? First of all, there is no way to answer that question because that's comparing apples and suspension bridges, which I think is a much better phrase than saying comparing apples to oranges, because apples and oranges are very, very similar in a lot of ways and perform the same roles, whereas apples and suspension bridges are completely radically different and have no common factors. Gameplay and narrative are apples and suspension bridges. You can't compare them. You can't look at them as different ends of a spectrum. They are two completely different things, and sometimes a thing you do will damage your narrative and improve your gameplay. But there's not like this magic way of looking at the two and saying they're always going to be in conflict. A lot of times they actually work together. Okay, a lot of the same elements that make for a good gameplay make for a good emergent narrative. And in general, as a GM, you're better off if you have to focus on one of the two, you're actually better off focusing on good gameplay because well-played games make for good stories after they're done. And isn't that interesting? Story gamers have it wrong. On the, are we going to get an article on finding the balance between the two? No, because the balance varies from person to person. You're going to need to find your own balance. Okay? Nobody can tell you what that balance is. Hate lift. Given that investment is contingent on the expectation of reward, would you say that sometimes you need to act invested anyway to get a reward while not really expecting any? As an example, taking asking a question or showing interest in PCs who've been flat or dull up until then. Okay, you're confusing a lot of ideas. Yes, investment is contingent on expecting a payoff. Okay? And that means that the players will be invested in your game because they're experiencing a great game. So they will be miserable in the moment if they lose an encounter, or they will pay careful attention to your game because they know they're going to have a great game experience as a result. That's what I'm saying, okay? What you're talking about is something different. It's talking about incentives and driving behavior. And also, you can't act invested. You can either invest or you don't. Okay? You can't fake it. You can't pay. You know, that's basically acting invested without being invested is fraud. You're paying a fake price and hoping of getting a real reward anyway. Also, investment is nothing to do with the GM, or at least the type of investment I'm talking about here has nothing to do with the GM. The GM is going to be invested in their own game. If they're not, they stop running the game. But, you know, asking questions to PCs who have been flat or dull up till then. No, sometimes PCs are flat or dull because players play flat, dull characters. That doesn't keep them from being invested. It just means that they play flat, dull characters. Hell, lots of players play flat, dull characters because players suck at this. If they were good at this, they'd be GMs. Which is another thing I'm telling you when you have to say you need to be the expert and stop expecting things from your players. I don't expect my players to have character arcs. My players are too stupid to understand character arc. Some of them aren't. Some of them actually pull off character arcs pretty well. I don't know if they're doing it on purpose or they're just doing it because they imitate stories or they're just doing it because they have an intuitive understanding, but some of them do. But I don't expect my players to write a good character, and I don't make a game that relies on them writing good characters for it to be a good game. That's a setup for failure. Reggie, if the players get invested in each other's characters, is that as valuable as investment in the game world? It is an investment, and it's valuable. Because they care about something other than their own stupid characters. But again, you know, there's this tacit assumption here that the players are only going to be invested in one thing. It's like, okay, well, I'll get them invested in the other characters of the tale. It's like, that's not investment either. Because investment is not caring about a specific thing. Investment is the willingness to sit at the table, follow the constraints of the table, deal with the shit that happens in the game, pay attention, show up, and get involved, and, you know, not dick around or ruin the game. All of those things are investment. Investment is not necessarily just caring about something, okay? Investment is everything you have to do to sit there at the table and play the game, including paying attention and including playing your character and making the decisions that the world demands and things like that, and dealing with the crowd and tracking rations, okay? If I say at my game, we track rations, you track rations. That's an investment. You're paying a cost. I'm telling you that by tracking rations, you're going to get a better game. You might not believe me. I don't care if you believe me. That's the cost of the investment. If my game is great and you're tracking rations, you sure as hell can't say whether or not it's great because of the tracking of the rations. I'm telling you it is. And by the way, track rations. Track rations, track ammo, track encumbrance. That leads to investment. But that's a story for next week. Do I have any other questions or comments? Okay. Okay, Fenir is asking a question. Now, Fenir asks, to follow up a bit from Nori's question and your answer, what do you think it means that I feel my non-experienced gamers I ran were the best feeling, and after I decided to learn how to run better games, they began to feel middling? Number one, I mean, there's a lot there. After I decided to learn how to run better games, they began to feel middling? I mean, geez. With that, like, I'm not going to psychoanalyze you, I'm sorry. And this is not an advice column, and I'm not a gaming therapist. There's a lot of reasons I can suggest, but here's the ultimate answer. If your games aren't feeling as good as they were, then you learned the wrong lessons, or you're doing it wrong, or you need a different teacher. So if you firmly feel that my advice maybe led you to less good games, stop reading my advice and stop following it, okay? That said, there is also a honeymoon period with any new skill, okay? When something is new, it's fun and exciting and rewarding, and then once that initial energy and excitement towards something new wanes, it takes a lot more payoff for it to feel as good as it did. Okay, it's a psychological effect. So it could be just you're going through diminishing returns. It could be that you're burnt out. It could be that you took some wrong advice. Or it could also be that now that you've started assessing your games in terms of whether or not you're doing very well, that stress of trying to rate yourself is causing you to feel worse about the game you're running. So, I mean, like, at the end of the day, I'm going to go back to what I said in the article. If you're not having fun running, or no, it's not fun. If you do not find running the games rewarding, either stop running the games or change what you're doing. And I can't tell you how to do that. You got to look at what's going on in your game and then look at what's happening inside you. And then you have to start feeling your way through. Okay. Change something and see if it works. Change something and see if it works. Change something and see if it works. Okay. If it is just stressing to apply too many lessons, stop trying to apply so many lessons. Okay. Pick one lesson to focus on. I'm actually going to give you a better solution in the next article too, believe it or not, because what you really need to be doing is not worrying so much about all this advice and just stop reading it and run games. Anyway, but that's going to be the end of this proofread aloud because the Q&A portion, because I am definitely out of time at this point, or nearly enough out of time so that I don't have time to answer another question. So, until next week, have a good week, y'all. See you soon.